My name is Michelle O'Woon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 11th of October 2009. It's now 1:14 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you're from?
Yeah, my name is Ben Taylor. I'm 29 and I'm from just outside of London.
How are you feeling?
Good. A little bit nervous. A little bit tired, but yeah, adrenaline's sort of dealing with both of those things at the moment.
Is there anything in particular that you're nervous or worried about?
No, not really. I think, you know, I'm not a, you know, public speaking is not something that I do, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So I think that is something that, you know, sort of things. And it's just anything new, I think, can always be slightly nerve-wracking. So, but I think life's all about breaking comfort zones, and this is definitely doing that.
Whereabouts are you living now?
I live in Epsom.
And how long have you been there?
Well, I was born in Epsom. I lived there for most of my life up until college, then moved away, and then moved back there about a year ago just to be closer to family.
And where did you go to college?
I went to Woking.
How did you first hear about this project? Can you remember?
No, I mean, I think originally I think a friend of mine had already been accepted to go up on the plinth, and I'm sure through Facebook or something, I'd just seen a status that was around that, but then didn't really hear anything about it for a little while. And then I think I just sort of went to the website along the way, because it was sort of in the back of my head. No, sorry, that's not true. I think it was the back of my head. I saw the highlight show on BBC One, or on one of the BBC channels, and that was when I sort of started paying a bit more attention and watching a little bit more. And then after my friend's slot, that was when I applied to come up myself.
Why did you decide to apply?
I thought it was a really interesting idea. I thought that there was a lot of people who'd used it, you know, for really good things. You know, I saw some people who were like talking about, you know, the environment, and who kind of really used it as a forum to speak. I thought there were some people who went up there and had some just really novel ideas and used it as an art project. And then there was a lot of people who kind of went up there and did sort of nothing. And I thought this is a great chance for someone to get out there and maybe, you know, speak about something that maybe is sort of relevant for the time.
And how are you going to spend your time?
Speaking, I've got... I went to a lecture earlier in this year that was run by a guy called Peter Joseph, who is an advocate of a thing called the Zeitgeist Movement, that talks a lot about, you know, capitalism and, you know, how money and the sort of the trade system is at the moment is holding back a lot of sort of technological advancements. It was a very interesting lecture that I went to just randomly and saw online randomly. And I think he made some really good points that are, you know, things that sort of need to be spoken about a lot more. So I thought I'd kind of do a rehash of a lot of the things that he spoke about, and that's kind of what I plan to do today.
What did you take away from that lecture, do you think?
From the lecture that I did there, that the system that we that we're kind of all part of at the moment has got flaws, and that there are lots and lots of different groups of people who have seen flaws in the system. I think there's, you know, hundreds of organizations around the world who are trying to change specific parts of the current, you know, capitalistic system or political systems or debt-based systems. And I think that there, you know, lots and lots of people are trying to do very different things about, you know, single parts of that. And I thought it was very interesting that there seemed to be a movement that was trying to encompass all of that together.
What did you find out about Zeitgeist?
Through Sky TV, actually, there's a channel called Edge TV, which is channel 200, and they aired the films on there. I'd heard people speaking about them online through different sort of forms, Facebook and things like that. Because they were on the mainstream TV, I came across it, watched it, and thought it was very interesting.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about how... the sort of cycle of consumerism is purposefully made to sort of withhold technological advancement. The reasons why companies wouldn't really want you, to, you know, really wouldn't want the advancement of technology to really push forward. How the you know, sort of current trade system is flawed and ways that it could work, or it could move forward. Also about technological unemployment and why, if that were to happen, the actual system that's in place at the moment just wouldn't be able to sustain itself.
Can you expand on what you mean by technological unemployment?
Yeah, I mean, a good example of that is if you look at a country like America, where 50, 60 years ago, agriculture was the predominant employer of the US. Through different technology advancements, that it's now less than 3% of the actual employment of America. If you look at now, I think something around 80% is now service industry based. There's lots of examples from different countries where that entire sort of industry can be completely automated, which would lead to the unemployment, obviously, of 80% of Americans, or say 70% of that, and therefore it's not necessary. However, if that were to happen, then those people therefore obviously wouldn't be able to partake in the current system, because they'd obviously have no money, which means therefore the companies that were making more money through using this technology would therefore go bust themselves, because they'd be no one to buy their goods in their restaurants or whatever it might be.
How does this link in with what you do for a living?
Well, I work in advertising, and advertising is probably one of the most unnecessary professions that's actually out there today. If you look at most major cities and most major towns, advertising is something that's congruent through everywhere. Everywhere you go, advertising is paramount. Everyone knows names like Starbucks and McDonald's and things like that. Whereas really, there's no need for advertising. If you've got a product that works and is good for people, you don't really need to advertise it. So people, it's not advertising was really formed in the 20s and 30s by a very well-known psychiatrist whose name actually completely escapes me, who went from helping people with mental sort of illnesses or specific issues, and then started working for large corporations on how to actually convince people that they needed to consume items, as opposed to helping people who had issues.
Is that something that you've always been aware of in your career?
No, not at all. I've been in sort of sales and advertising for most of my sort of working life, and I think it's really probably only over the last 4 to 6 months that it's something that I've really become aware of.
And how does that sit with you, what you do for now?
I think you have to be aware of everything that you're doing and make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. I think advertising can be, if you're working for the right company advertising the right product, then it can work for the better of people in the current market, because at the end of the day every product is advertised to such a high level. I just don't feel that it's an industry that needs to exist. However, it does need to exist in the current system.
Could you tell me a little bit more about your day-to-day work?
I work for an online media company, so it's just helping companies make an impact online. So, I talk to companies who either don't have knowledge of online marketing to help them find more ways to make work, or to push their products, or to push their service online, and to compete against the other people who are already advertising online.
Did you always want to work in advertising?
No, not at all. I think I just, I wanted to be an actor, actually, years and years ago. And then I think I just sort of fell into sales, that then progressed into advertising through a job that came around. It definitely wasn't something that I saw myself doing when I was, when I was a kid. I wanted to be Superman when I was a kid. And then Batman. I'm neither.
Did you do anything about wanting to be an actor?
Yeah, I did actually. And again, I think it's, although this nothing to do with the reason why I'm here, but I got to a point where I could, I'm not from a very, very rich background, you know, socioeconomically, I'm what you'd probably call, you know, working class, and I've always had that background. I got to the point where I could study as much for free as possible when it came to drama. To a small amount of outlay. When I got to the age of 19, it got to the point where it was sort of a drama school or a university that did theatre studies. I didn't feel that theatre studies was the way I wanted to go, because it was very much, the theory of working in the theatre as opposed to learning to become an actor. And drama school was a very, very expensive way to go. And at the time, I think it's changed now, I'm not sure, but at the time it wasn't grant maintained at all. So the only way you could actually get funding for that was privately. But the only people that would privately fund you was if you'd already paid and been part of them for a long time. So really, the reason that I didn't go any further with the acting was because I couldn't afford to. And then the only people that I really know from my personal experience who have actually gone quite far in acting are people who have actually had quite a lot of personal finance, or their families have had finance, so they could afford the good drama schools. Then after the drama schools, they could afford to not go into full-time employment, so they had time to, do the auditions and things like that. So again, although it's not something I'm talking about today, you know, were the system different, where it wasn't so focused on, consumption and things like that, then it would be a lot easier for people to do things that they were passionate about, as opposed to things that they needed to do to make money.
How do you think people will react to what you're going to tell them?
I think, were it a worldwide audience, where every person in the whole world was listening, I think overall the feedback would probably be quite positive. There'd be a large portion of people who probably didn't understand what I was talking about, not through any other reason, not through lack of intelligence, just through conditioning, social conscience, things that the advertising industry convinces them is fact. I think there'd be a lot of people in, countries that probably would never be able to see this because of, they don't have the television, they don't have the internet. Who would actually, completely agree with it and really would see that, it would be a great way of moving forward. And then there's probably going to be a large percentage of people who think I'm talking absolute rubbish and will switch off after 2 minutes if they were listening.
Did you find it easy to understand when you first heard about that lecture?
Sorry, can you say that again?
When you first went along to that lecture,
yep.
To the Zeitgeist Movement lecture, did you find it easy to understand or not?
Yes and no. I personally was very frustrated with the system that I was seeing as a whole for a long time, for different reasons. And I don't really think at the time I related a lot of the personal issues I had back to, the monetary system and the sort of corporate capitalism that was out there. But I was very frustrated with lots of different things. I think when I went to the lectures, when I saw sort of different films and spoke to different people, that I think a lot of it can be related back to money, and that therefore that's why it made sense to me. Although I wouldn't say that I was looking for something that was related to money at all. I was more frustrated with what I consider the lack of democracy in the UK and in the world. There's lots of things that have happened that I didn't vote for from a party that I did vote for, but I think you vote for a party based on things they tell you they're going to do. Well, if they don't do those things, surely you're not voting for them. So therefore, I don't feel that. But again, that's not really what I'm talking about today. That's a completely different frustration. But I think, if you live in a democracy, then things should be voted for. Well, I didn't vote for the Iraq War. I haven't voted for ID cards. And yet these things are still being put into place, even though people aren't being asked their opinions on them specifically.
So is quite a lot of background and siren noise going on tonight?
Nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with you. You mentioned, I think, barriers to understanding and the advertising
conditioning.
Conditioning can contribute to that. Can you just expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very easy to understand why people wouldn't, I think technological advancement is obviously held back in a lot of areas, and I think that on a day-to-day basis, people aren't exposed to how technology could really, you know, help their day-to-day lives. I just don't think it's seen or pushed or advertised. I think in the Western world specifically, we're very conditioned by the by marketing, by advertising, to believe that there's, you know, you have to have a job to exist in society as a whole. Whereas I think you really only need, a lot of people see money as a natural resource, whereas money isn't a natural resource. It's something that was created, you know, years ago, when scarcity was there. I think now with technology, I think we can have a natural abundance of resources. However, that wouldn't work in our current system, and I don't think people can see that there is any other options out there.
And how might people be able to use technology to improve their
lives? Well, I mean, if you think about jobs as a whole, I mean, the majority of the mundane jobs that actually hold people back from moving themselves forward, be that on a spiritual level or an intellectual level, I think, you know, there's probably someone right now somewhere in the world who is stuck behind a counter in a, you know, major department store, who might have the best scientific mind in the world, but because of their socioeconomic background, they're actually held back from doing that, and they have to go to work for a minimum wage every day, and therefore they can't cultivate that, be it because they don't have the time or the backing and the support. So yeah, I think that people are in a way, a lot of people are trapped within the system as it is, and I think a lot of people wouldn't even know that there was alternatives or solutions out there to the system that they're in.
Just going back to the zeitgeist movement, mm-hmm. for a minute, what do they do outside of the lecture sphere?
Well, the Zeitgeist Movement is the activist arm of the Venus Project, and the Venus Project are the ideas of a guy called Jacques Fresco, who is a guy who's 93 years of age, lived through obviously wars, depressions, and has really just sort of coined the term of resource-based economy, and just showed ways of how to sort of survive without the monetary system that's held so many people back. Zeitgeist as a movement are really just about increasing awareness of the ideology of that resource-based economy. So very much what they're based around is increasing their own awareness and answering questions to anyone that have it about what the Venus Project and what the Zeitgeist movement are about.
So how can you see your connection with the movement?
Well, really, by increasing my own knowledge of of their ideology, of what the Venus Project is all about, and by doing that and increasing my own knowledge, hopefully pushing forward for a resource-based economy, or at least having more personal information. I think everything that I do is all about me and increasing my own knowledge. I'm not sort of out there to spread the word or to force people into an ideology that they're not interested in. I just think that from what I've seen, the Zeitgeist Movement and the Venus Project offer solutions to a system that isn't working anymore, but that used to 40, 50 years ago, but I just don't think it is anymore. And I think they've offered solutions for that. And I think they bring together solutions from, there are lots of different organisations and movements out there that understand that the system is flawed, but don't have a solution for tomorrow.
How do you like to spend your time when you're not working?
I like to spend it with my family. I think it's always important to make sure you're doing something that makes you smile, and my family does that for me quite a lot.
You've got a girl.
Daughter, yeah. Fantastic little girl. And I think it's important, for her as well. Again, I think we're in a system that, if you look at the recession that the world is in at the moment, I know obviously the marketing guys and the advertising guys are sort of labeling it as a credit crunch. But it's exactly the same as a recession that England had, 20 years ago, but the advertisers weren't as good then. And I think the system that we're in at the moment constantly goes through crashes. You know, if you look back from the Great Depression right the way through to what's going on around the world at the moment, it's constantly crashing, and every time it crashes, it gets a little bit worse. I think if something's not done about it, then it will just carry on doing that for you know, my children and their children and so on and so forth.
How would you describe yourself as a person? If you had to do a thumbnail sketch of your personality.
How would I describe myself as a person? I would say I was an active person. I would say I was a friendly person. I would say I was a family person. And language is obviously very, you know, very limiting. I don't have the vocabulary of someone who's, you know, written part of the Oxford Dictionary. So it's very hard to sort of label myself like that. But I'd say I was a people person if I had to use a common terminology.
Do you think this project is about people?
The One Another project? Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think, you know, one thing that I really liked about it was it's about people talking about or showing a part of their personality to a large group of people. You know, there are people who have said, oh, you know, people have gone up on the plinth and done nothing or just read or spoken on the phone. But I think that's just what's important to them. You know, I think if the first thing you think of when you think I've got an hour to show a part of myself to the world is I'm going to call up my girlfriend or my brother or whatever it might be, then that's just showing a big part of your personality. If, on the other hand, you're the type of person that's going to go up there and, you know, I mentioned earlier, I saw someone, you know, giving away trees and stuff like that, you're just showing that that's a part of who you are. I think it's a great way of putting lots of personalities together over 100 days and sort of seeing what comes out at the end. I am, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I think what I'm doing up there is quite different. I personally haven't seen anyone get up there and sort of talk about something like this, but then I haven't seen everyone that's gone up there. So yes, I'm excited about it. I would love to think that it's gonna make an impact or make a difference, have an impact, but I'm also completely aware that it might not, but at least I've tried something.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before?
No, not really. I think I've got a lot to say when I'm up there, so hopefully it'll come up there.
Thank you very much.